This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I'm going to paraphrase maybe certain parts of it just so that it doesn't take forever to narrate. But it's one of my favorite because it has a nice story to it. And it goes like this. قَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ كُنَّا قُعُودًا حَوْلَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَمَعَنَا أَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرْ وَنَفَرْ. You were all sitting amongst the Prophet والسلام, and Abu Bakr and Umar were there and a couple of other people. قال فقام عنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأبطأ علينا فخشينا أن يقتطع دوننا ففزعنا فقمنا فكنت أول من فزع. So he's saying, and Abu Bakr and Abu Huraira here does a little bit of bragging throughout the hadith. Like he does a little bit and then he gets punished for it. So you'll hear how the whole, how it kind of goes. So he says, we're sitting there and the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام got up and he left us for a little bit and he took a long time. Like he said, I'll be back. And then he took longer than what we're used to him doing. So we got scared that maybe something happened to him. So we panicked a little bit and we started to get up to go. So I was the first one to get scared. I was the first one to panic. And I was the first one to go do something. He was talking about himself, radiallahu anhu. And this is just, I mean, I could take time to just talk about that piece. That this is what they were living in. For the majority of his life, alayhi salatu wasalam, there was lack of safety. If you're sitting with a friend or a group of people and they're like, I'm gonna go for a while and come back and they're late, you're not gonna panic or think something bad happened to them. But with the Prophet ﷺ during that time, even in Medina, there was always fear, always danger of spies or mercenaries or someone who could come and harm him ﷺ or kidnapping him ﷺ. So they went up. Look. So I was looking around for him, and then I found an orchard for Bani Najjar, which are a group of the Ansar. And I could see the Prophet ﷺ in it. فَرَأَيْتُ فِيهَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. So I could see him inside. فَذَهَبْتُ أَبْحَثُ لَهُ عَنْ بَابٍ فَلَمْ أَجِدْ لَهُ بَابًا. So I'm going around. Usually a ha'it is a wall, and it's referring to an orchard that's walled around, so it's closed in. So he went around looking for a door, and he couldn't find a door to get in. قال فرأيت ربيعاً يدخل جوف الحائط من بئر خارجة. So what I saw was I saw a spring of water and a stream of water that was going into the orchard from under the wall, right? So if you live in the countryside, you've seen this before. So sometimes you don't have an actual spring inside your orchard, but there's one right outside. So you just make sure that there's a little bit of a pathway for the water to go from under the wall. So you could see. قَالَ فَاحْتَفَزْتُ كَمَا يَحْتَفِزُ الثَّعْلَبُ فَدَخَلْتُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So I entered just like a fox would. So I kind of, you know, I squirmed under the wall in the water to get through to the other side. He's like, I squirmed in like a fox. So I get to the other side and the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام قَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ. فقلت نعم يا رسول الله. Yes, it's me. فقال ما أتى بك. Why are you here? فقال كنت معنا. فانصرفت. فأبطأت. فخشينا أن تقتطع. ففزعنا. فقمنا. فكنت أول من فزع. فرأيتك داخل الحائط. فلم أجد بابا. فاحتفزت كما يحتفز الثعلب عند هذا الربيع. فأتيتك. So he explained the whole story to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. He told him, so we were with you, you left us, you said you're going to come back, you took a long time, we all got worried, I was the one who was most worried, we all got up, but I was the first one to get up, and I was the first one to look for you, and I found you, but I couldn't find a door, Ya Rasulullah. So the only thing I could find is this spring and the water, so I, like a fox, Ya Rasulullah, I put myself under so I could come and find you, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he kind of bragging a little bit to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, how much he loves him. فالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فكان في يدي رسول الله نعله. He had his two shoes in his hands عليه الصلاة والسلام. فقال يا أبا هريرة خذ نعلي هاتين فاذهب فمن لقيت وراء هذا الحائط يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني عبده ورسوله فبشره بالجنة. Said, take my shoes. Now you're wondering why on earth you didn't have a lot of accessories back in the day. And there weren't a lot of things that you were known by. Shoes were one of them. Coming by good shoes was a big deal. A big deal. Wallahi, not even 50, 60 years ago, if you go to the Middle East. If you have a good pair of shoes, yeah, and you are very wealthy. That's why do you think people have problems coming to the masjid? Because what's the thing that happens every time you come to a masjid? You walk out, no shoes. Because a good pair of shoes are worth taking, right? So it actually makes it. So the Prophet ﷺ's shoes were known. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted to give Abu Huraira something for him to prove that he met him, right? Because apparently, this is what the ulama think, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam went and he met Jibreel and had wahi, and Jibreel had a discussion with him. Maybe it was Quran, maybe it wasn't. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam concluded from this the words that he told Abu Hurairah to go tell people. Take my shoes, and whoever sees you, tell him I met Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah, and he told me to give the good tidings of Jannah to anyone who says, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So I took his shoes and I left. يقول أخذت عليه وخرجت فكان أول من لقيت عمر. The first person he runs into is Umar ibn al-Khattab. His bad luck, رضي الله عنه. He runs into Umar. فقال عمر أهاتاني نعلا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Are those the shoes of the Prophet in your hand? People were known. The shoes were known. فقال نعم. فقال ما حملك ما أتى بك. Why are you carrying them? فقال رضي الله عنه إني لقيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He told him the story, the whole thing. فأخبرني أن أذهب فمن لقيت وراء هذا الحائط أبشره بالجنة إن كان يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. He told me to take his shoes whenever I meet outside of this wall to tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the good tidings of Jannah if they believe in لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. يقول فضربني عمر ضربة خررت فيها لإستي. So Umar رضي الله عنه, when I said those words, he slapped me hard, so hard that I fell back on my behind. فقمت فقال قم اذهب أين رسول الله. Get up, tell me where the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال فذهبت أجهش بكاء. I'm crying, I'm walking there like breathing heavily, crying. وخلفي عمر يركبني. Umar's right behind me, pushing me, just so move. Where's Muhammad? Where's the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? Move in front of me. What is there? So they enter to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Abu Huraira comes in, he's crying. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما ردك يا أبا هريرة. Why are you back? فقال خرجت. And he tells the whole story again. If you read the hadith, it's a very long hadith because Abu Huraira keeps on telling the whole story. I went out, I did what you told me, I told the person, I ran to Umar, I told him the thing. He قال فضربني عمر يا رسول الله فخررت فيها ليستي. He hit me really hard and I fell on my behind. فنظر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى عمر فقال يا عمر ما حملك على هذا. يا عمر, why you do this? فقال يا رسول الله أأنت أخبرته أن يأخذ نعليك فيذهب خلف هذا الحائط فيبشر من يقول لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله بالجنة. Do you tell him to take your shoes and go tell anyone behind this wall that if they say لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله they enter Jannah? فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم يا عمر. Yes I did. فقال يا رسول الله إنك إني أخشى إن فعلت ذلك أن يتكلوا فلا يعلم فلا يعملوا فخلهم يا رسول الله يعملون. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I fear that if you go tell people this beautiful, then they stop doing anything. They misunderstand you. They misunderstand you, and they misunderstand what this message is, and they sit around saying, well, I say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and they stop doing anything at all. فَخَلِّهِمْ يَعْمَلُونَ. Leave them, let them work, let them continue to strive towards what is beneficial for them. فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَخَلِّهِمْ. Then let them do that. Now, if Umar was wrong, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would have told him, no, this is very clear. No, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام actually said, yes, let them. Because it wasn't that Umar was correcting the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام's message. No, it was the Umar رضي الله عنه pointing out for the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that your message this way will probably be misunderstood. It's not a correction of the message. It's a fear of misunderstanding the message. The Prophet alayhi salam never, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, never in his life did he ever suggest that if you just said two words or two phrases that and sat around doing nothing for the rest of your life, contributing in no fashion at all, having nothing to actually show for it at the end of it, that somehow you're going to make it on the Day of Judgment. In no way did he ever suggest that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Umar was just saying, Ya Rasulullah, what you're saying can be misunderstood that way. So maybe let people continue to work hard the way they are because they're not going to understand what you're saying. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, فَخَلِّهِمْ. Yes, you're right. But the hadith has value to it. Because the hadith is saying, this is what it's actually hadith is teaching in this beautiful little story we heard. That saying, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ means that you will continue to work to the day you die. That's what it means. Meaning it contains within it a clause of striving until you meet God himself. It's a covenant of work, actually. It's a covenant of sa'i, of striving and putting your effort. That's what it is. But But if you decide to understand it some other way, if you decide to say, no, all it is just a declaration. So I'll make the declaration, I'll put it on my Facebook. Facebook is forever, right? I'll post it publicly there. I'll put it on my social media accounts. I'll write it. And that way I've declared I believe in this. Then I'll make it Yawm al-Qiyamah regardless of what I do. No. He never taught that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ever. He never taught that at all. But he sent Abu Huraira with this beautiful piece of information. Why? The reason why, this is so important, the reason why is because those who believed in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, who were with him, who were working day and night for the sake of Allah, were still very, very afraid of punishment. We're sleeping at night afraid of being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their shortcomings, for the lack of insincerity, for the lack of commitment, for the lack of love, for the lack of certainty, for the amount of doubts, for the amount of wasted time, for the mistakes that are repetitive, for the chronic issue they didn't deal with. They're scared. So the Prophet ﷺ sent this. I was like, no. If you say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and mean it, actually, another narration for Imam outside of Imam Muslim, mustaqinan biha qalba, aw qalbuh, meaning his heart is filled with it. He has full certainty in it. Mustaqinan biha qalbuh, there's no doubt in his heart. Then you'll make it, inshallah. But Umar correctly was scared that maybe if you say it this way, people just think it's enough to say it and not do anything. Now here's my question to you. Was Umar right? Radiallahu anhu. Hit the nail on the head. He couldn't have been more accurate. Radiallahu anhu. He knows exactly what he was talking. He knows people. Radiallahu anhu. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I'll tell you what happened. At a moment where he was speaking to Jibreel, and he saw so much of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's compassion and mercy, he was overwhelmed by it. He was overtaken by the beauty of what he heard from Jibreel alayhi salam. So he felt he just has to give this good news. He couldn't help it. He wanted to give this good news to people because he felt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will encompass everybody. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's compassion will reach everyone. So he said it. Umar al-Khattab just came with a little bit of realism to it. Don't misunderstand it. You're right, of course, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's saying the truth. Those are the words he said are the truth. But just make sure you don't misunderstand them. Because if you do, then you're putting yourself in jeopardy and you're pulling people around you. Because he never claimed, alayhi salatu wasalam, that your tongue just saying something with no conviction, with no commitment, with no covenant to be fulfilled after that is going to take us anywhere. I hope that is a benefit to you. I won't repeat the hadith. It's a long hadith. I'll end with that. Subhanakallah bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi. Jazakumullahu khairan. Barakallahu fikum. Have a nice night. See you tomorrow, inshallah, for Jumu'ah 1:15. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.